I hope you're doing well today. I hope you're remembering that every moment holds a treasure, that God is with you and His face shines upon you. Okay, we're going to pick up our discussion of spiritual warfare and evil supernaturalism. Let me say a word of prayer. Father, we come in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. We remember that we are positioned with Christ in heavenly places, that we have authority. We remember, Lord, that in Colossians it tells us that there on the cross you won, you defeated these dark forces, and now in your authority we can move forward in our lives to press these forces back as they seek in many ways to discourage and deceive, to steal, and to kill what's going on in our lives. Lord, we give you thanks for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you remember that my friend Daryl, great pastor, Dr. Daryl, he asked if I'd spend a few weeks talking about evil supernaturalism. We began the last time. We talked about that passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 16 that says when God opens great doors, also great opposition comes. We also dealt a little bit with Ephesians chapter 6 and the fact that the evil one has schemes. There's layers of opposition, and that's one of the reasons that we shouldn't be vulnerable, but put on the full armor of God as we move forward. Well, today, we're going to pick that theme up again, but we're going to look at some lessons that we can learn from actually the book of Nehemiah. You know the story of Nehemiah, don't you, that he went back to Jerusalem to rebuild, and he wanted to rebuild the wall and rebuild their culture in order that they could come home and reestablish Jerusalem as the civil and the spiritual headquarters for the nation of Israel. And what we find out is that as he began this rebuilding process, that there were people there that were very angry and they rose up against Nehemiah. It talks about anger and that they were incensed against this and they would ridicule and insult them and do things to try to discourage them from building the wall and building the kingdom. And one of the things we see in Nehemiah chapter 4 is that Nehemiah gathered them together to pray. He engaged this opposition at a spiritual level. Boy, is that a great principle. Do you know that often when we are doing the will of God and people rise up against us or there are discouragements and in some ways ridicule, that often we go against the people, but that's not the first step that Nehemiah took. This goes back to the lesson that we learned from Greg Boyd. If it has flesh and blood, it's not our enemy. But behind flesh and blood can often be an enemy, and that's where we need to address our concerns. And so that's why what Nehemiah did is such a great first lesson for us. When opposition arises, go to prayer. Pray about the opposition. Look behind the opposition to what we need to be knowing and remembering about this whole idea of evil supernaturalism. But the other thing that happens is as they prayed, it then says they guarded the low spots. See, they were building a wall, and where there was a low spot that hadn't been built up yet, that's what they guarded especially. And boy, I think there's a lesson there, a spiritual metaphor for us that many of us have vulnerable places in our lives, and if we're not willing to talk about them and be open about them, that's where the enemy is really going to come against us. And so I think it's important for us to begin to really ask the Holy Spirit to show us, where are we most vulnerable? Is it in our thought life? Is there a place of greed? Do we have previous wounds? Are there false beliefs in our lives? That's where we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us, because that's where Scripture and prayer need to really be applied. That's where it's important for us to really do some serious connecting with other Christians. So Let's just think about the fact that maybe someone out there is a pastor and their church is beginning to experience opposition. One of the best things a pastor can do is to ask the Lord with some other people to show them, where are the low spots in our congregation? Where are we most vulnerable? Because that's where the evil one wants to attack us. And then the next thing that it says here in Scripture in verse 14 is to remember that the Lord is great, that God will fight for us. That comes right out of verse 20 there. To remember that. We fight for our sons and daughters, and God fights with us. He doesn't just leave us out there to be defeated, But through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, God is on our side, and he will come and he will fight on our behalf. You know, there's a couple other things that are here. It's important to remember that opposition will come. Opposition comes. I think the first place of temptation comes in the whole area of, are we secure in our identity in Christ? Are we letting our core longings be met in him? Are we letting the Lord deal with the wounds of the past? Because if we let the Lord deal with these things, give us a deeper sense of identity, fulfill our core longings, heal the wounds of the past, we are less vulnerable to the evil one. And that, I think, is a very, very important principle for us to remember. Our uniqueness rests in our identity in Jesus Christ. And when we're not secure in our identity, then our core longings are not being met in him. And when our core longings are not being met in him, we are more vulnerable to the lures of the evil one who's seeking to pull us away. And so I think this is a very important beginning for us to take seriously this issue of the evil one tempting us at the place of identity insecurity. I want to encourage you, if you haven't read my book, Identity Matters, consider purchasing it, consider reading it, because I think it's part of the foundation of the Christian life. You know, when the evil one came against Jesus, one of the first places he came in the temptation in the wilderness was as identity. God had just declared Jesus to be his beloved son and had given him his power. And the first thing the evil one done is come there and says, if you are my son, if you are his son. And so we want to recognize that he's always questioning us at the level of our identity security. We must know who we are in Jesus Christ. And not only that, we need to know where we are weak, where we are vulnerable. And I know that the Lord wants to teach us these things. He really does. He'd love it if we would pray and we would ask the Lord to show us where are we most vulnerable. Some of us, not only are we not secure in our identity, but we have some real core longing deficits. We don't know the degree to which we're loved, to which God accepts us, to which we are safe in him and significant and have purpose and understanding. So, again, when I'm thinking back to my friend Daryl, who asked that we would talk a little bit about spiritual warfare, one of the things I would want to say to him is, as the pastor of a congregation, make sure you're preaching about being secure in your identity in Christ. Make sure you're teaching people how their core longings can be met in Jesus, that they can feel love and acceptance and safety and significance and purpose and understanding in him and from him, which makes them less susceptible to the temptation of the evil one to turn elsewhere. The other thing we need to know, that I want to be crystal clear on this point, when we have unprocessed wounds in our lives, those wounds are one of the places where the evil one loves to make a nest. He builds a nest in the unprocessed wounds, in the false beliefs that we have, in the ungrieved loss that's part of our lives. That's why, again, if we're going to be in this battle, we want to recognize several things. One of them is we are going to be tempted in the low spots in our lives, in the places where we are vulnerable. We want to know what these are. We want to raise up a defense against the evil one in those areas. We're also going to be vulnerable when our core longings are not being met in Christ. Those core longings are critical to our lives, and I know many Christians, they long for love, but they turn to the wrong place for love, and then they get trapped in the web of the evil one. Again, to use a word, he dupes us. His schemes are to blind us, and we end up turning to places for significance and safety that for a little while seem to meet the need, but later on, they really bring us serious trouble in our lives. And so, these three things, I think, are something that we would do well to think about as we're considering this whole idea of evil supernaturalism. The lessons from Nehemiah, low points in the wall, praying against the evil one, rejoicing that God fights for us, remembering that whatever battle we're in now is not just for us, but it's for the generations that we serve and that are behind us. So let me make this more practical for you. Where is the evil one going to really seek to do battle in your life? Number one, in your identity. If you're not secure in who you are in Christ, he's really going to tempt you there. Really going to get you to try to invest in things that will never, ever meet the deep need for you to feel secure. He'll also deal with your core longings. And if you aren't secure in your core longings, where you are loved and cared for in Christ, where there's acceptance and security and significance, the evil one will come there. And then also, he will come to make a nest in our wounds, where we have not let Jesus come in to the wounds of the past and the false beliefs and the ungrieved loss we've experienced. The evil one can really work us over there. And so we need to develop what could be a strategy of resistance. And here's some things I would say. Number one, whatever you do, make sure you're going to Scripture and filling yourself with Scripture. Be connected to a community of people that will then pray about these low spots. Remember to submit yourself to God in every possible way, to allow him to come and to heal these wounds. And as you do, you're going to begin to see that God does something really good in your life. Now, look, I want you to know this is a journey. It takes time. But the evil one does not show quarter. He does not play fair. And if there are these vulnerabilities, these low places in the wall, he will come with all the force that he can to try to throw us off course, to steal, to kill, to destroy. So this is a serious issue. Spiritual warfare is no joke. Yeah, there's so many great things to be aware of. God's love and his care and his presence and the treasure in every present moment. These are wonderful things to preoccupy ourselves with. But we also need an awareness that every time we get out of bed and place our feet on the floor, we are in a battle zone, and that our enemy has schemes and layers of opposition, and he doesn't play fair, and he loves to hit in the low spots, in where there's vulnerability, particularly identity issues, particularly core longings that have not been met, and particularly this issue of wounds that have not been touched. So in your life, be aware. In your church, deal with these issues. Many, many churches today are being beat up because they're not being led to greater understandings of identity in Christ, of how Jesus can meet the core longings of our lives, and how wounds can be healed. I'm not a pastor anymore. If I were a pastor, those are some of the things I'd be preaching all year long. Know who you are in Jesus. Turn away from the way the world wants you to fill your core longings and find your core longings fulfilled in Christ. Let Jesus deal with your wounds. And every time you deal with those three issues, you're in some ways taking away what the evil one could use to bring you down. I pray that you hear these words and that you have a greater understanding of what God's offering you to keep you free. Thank you.